The Josie Show is copyrighted to Josie Pasentino, Bag of Goodies Productions, and Alan Firestone Productions, and may not be rebroadcasted or redistributed in its entirety or in portions without pre-written consent of its producers and the show's management. Thank you. Time again for the Josie Show Special Edition. Tonight, Josie welcomes Nashville songwriting royalty, Glenn Douglas Tubb. And now, here's your host, Josie Pasentino.
To the second Josie Show Special Edition episode. We will bring you unbelievable artists and songwriters from around the world of music in a special Josie Show episode twice a month. Yes, you heard me correctly. We will start shows twice a month next month in February. You tune in to hear our Josie Show Special Edition in the same place as the Josie Show at www.josieshow.com. Last month, we kicked off the special edition show with country music legend Aaron Tippin. You could still catch that episode on our website under the special editions tab at our website. And tonight, we will have Nashville songwriting royalty on the show. I am so excited. That's right. We have the amazing Glenn Douglas Tubb tonight. So please stay tuned for the whole show and hear a great interview with Glenn. And then a couple of his awesome songs, too. I'm so excited. This is going to be amazing. Now, please take a listen to this message, and I'll be right back with Glenn Douglas Tubb right after this.
The Josie Show VIP membership for artists is now available. Go to our site at www.josieshow.com and click on the tab that says VIP membership, and you can become a member and receive all of the benefits starting immediately. Special things like having announcements of your performances, your CDs, your singles, videos announced on air worldwide on our live show each week. Many, many more benefits, so check it out again at www.josieshow.com.
We are back and we're chatting with Glenn Douglas Tubb. I'm very excited. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, baby. How are you?
I am doing so, so great. I've been looking forward to chatting with you. It'll be fun.
Well, me too. Tell me something. Where are you located?
We are located in Chicago, Illinois, Windy City, and it sure is windy.
In the Windy City. Yeah, I've been there, and it is windy.
It really is.
Yeah. It's not bad down here in Nashville. We got calm winds, but the temperature is dropping down here. Y'all got some cold weather up there too, don't you?
Oh yes, definitely.
You know how you can tell when you're talking to an old person, they want to talk about the weather all the time.
I don't mind. I would much rather be in Nashville. Let me tell you, I would trade it in for anything. I love Nashville.
And I've been pretty much all over the United States, and I've been across the pond too. But I've lived some other places, but I like it better here. It just seems to suit me better.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, with this career, with this job that you have, you must be traveling, must have done some traveling. What's some favorite places that you've been to that really treated you well?
Well, I like my old home state of Texas a whole lot.
Oh yeah.
I love it down there. I'm getting ready to go back, and across the pond, I would say Austria.
Wow.
Is one of my favorite places. It's so beautiful over there with those mountains, the Tyrolean mountains over there. They're just gorgeous. And I like Paris and I like London, but I like the country of Austria better than any. It's just, I guess it kind of reminds me of Tennessee with all the green and the mountains there.
Definitely. I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the places that have, you know, mountains and a lot of nature. And I'm a very outdoorsy person. So anywhere that I can relax and chill, I'm there.
Well, I guess I kind of like it over in Germany and Austria because they love country music big time over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they love the old country music like I do. They don't care a whole lot for the new stuff. So that kind of makes them special to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's exactly, and that is exactly what you do. That traditional kind of real country, which I want to get to here. But you are an all-time. I mean, I just have to say, you are an amazing songwriter. So we're just going to start
thank
there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've been lucky. I've been around a long time. That helps too. It gives you time to write more. You know, law of average. You know, if you keep writing, even a blind hog will find an acorn every once in a while. So I'm just happy that the Lord left me here this long to let me enjoy what I do. And it's just been a blessing to me. He's just really been super. And he keeps giving me brand new songs every day. And I give him all the praise and glory because I know it's not me. I'm not that smart. So.
You definitely are. You definitely are. You know. I love it. But, yeah, you definitely are an amazing songwriter. And I have to say, though, I understand that your very first song was actually recorded by your uncle, the Ernest Tubb, which is really
cool. Yeah, it was. I looked up there, too. I just born in the right place, I guess.
had
the right parents and I was actually I was born in San Antonio on Porter Street in a duplex there. My mom and dad lived in one side of the duplex and Uncle Ernest and Auntie Elaine lived in the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born there and Justin, my first cousin, who's passed away now, we were both born there, and I have a picture of us taken in the backyard of that place when we're walking around, looked to be about 14 months old maybe, walking around in our dirty diapers and not much else. Just in that Texas sun down there.
Definitely. Wow, that is so cool. It must have been such a great, you know, accomplishment that your uncle liked it so much that he wanted to record it. It must have been like a pat on the back, job well done.
Well, yeah, and he knew that we couldn't get anybody else to record it because we wrote it especially for him. It was called I'll Be Walking the Floor This Christmas. And So, you know, we did a takeoff on his Walking the Floor with You, so. You know, if he hadn't have recorded the song, we would have been stuck with it because nobody else would have ever done it.
I'm glad that you got him.
We were very lucky. It turned out to be in the Christmas album that he just got through recording, and that was the only Christmas album he ever made. So it has had a lot of longevity. It's been going on for 60 years now, and that's pretty good track record for an old song, and it's still going. They put it in these compilation albums at Reader's Digest and Time Life and Rhino and all those people put out, and so it's been very good to me. It's put beans on the table for a long time.
Right, exactly. It's still going. And along with that, though, you have, you know, just a lot of material, like hundreds of songs I've heard that you wrote that are recorded by great artists such as Dwight Yoakam, Charlie Pride, Johnny Cash, the greats. That's what I know him as, George Jones. Can you tell us what it's like to have your amazing songs recorded by great artists and get them actual, you know, chart-topping tippity top of the charts with them.
Well, it feels good when they do that. You know, when especially when one of your heroes does one for you, it makes you feel good.
Right.
And I was lucky with Johnny. We got to know each other back in the early 50s, and we started. He was a fan of mine. I was recording for Decca at that time, and he had my records, and I had his. And we decided that, being as we liked each other's music, we would just work together on the road. So he backstage at the Grand Ole Opry one night, he asked me if I'd like to go on the road with him. And I said, well, sure, when? And he said, what about tonight? And I said, well,
there you go.
You got to give me time to go home and pack a bag, buddy.
Yeah, right.
And I went home, packed a bag, and we took off, and we did quite a bit of touring together around the United States and up into Canada and around, and had a lot of fun. We wrote Home of the Blues while we was on one of those tours, and he recorded it, and I had a big hit with it, and
mm-hmm.
I was real lucky again, and
definitely.
Like they use that song as one of the songs in the movie they just made about his life, and so I'm real happy. It's had some longevity too. That's came out in '57, so that's been around a while too.
Wow, very, very cool. For those upcoming songwriters out there that really want to do what you do, do you have any advice for them on how to get their music kind of out there in the public so other people?
Oh, gosh, mm-hmm. I don't know, honey. It's it's a different ball game today than
right.
what it was when I started. Back when I started, we didn't even make demos back then. They were just starting to have tape machines and things, but we didn't even bother making demos because the A&R man would come into town and ask us songwriters to come to the hotel, and we'd go up and sit down with our guitars and sing them songs. And they'd hear something they wanted, and so they'd call their artists. They had their artists in town that they were recording. They'd call the artists down to the hotel room, and we'd sing the song to them. And if they liked it, then we'd sit there and teach it to them. And we never made demos. So, you know, it's a whole different ball game today. And you have to make not a demo. They call them demos now, but they're actually master recordings that they make now.
Right.
And they turn them over to the artist or the producer. And most of the time what they do is just copy the demo and you know, there's not too many, in my opinion now, this is just me, but in my opinion, there's not too many real music people left in the business that actually know how to take a song from scratch and make it into a master recording. The guys today, they might have more music learning in a college sense, you know, but they don't have the ear and the ability that those old fellas had, because man, they could hear a song and hear what it could be made into.
Yeah.
And they would take it, and they knew how to pick the right musicians to go with it, and they'd go into the studio, and they'd come out with a finished product that just knocked everybody out. And I miss those kind of people. I just don't see any of them anymore.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nowadays, you're right. There are so many different things that you have to do nowadays just to be heard. I mean, there's different things, and also, you know, now there's, you know, social networking sites, which I'm a huge fan of, like Facebook, et cetera, that you could actually post your music and stuff and have people hear it all around the world. So
it's
different.
Yeah. You can write a song this morning and have it on YouTube by noon, and it'll be all the way around the world before you go to bed at night.
Yeah, it's so different. I know.
it's a different ball game now. So, you know, the new writers today, they've got a lot going for them because they don't have to worry about a lot of stuff that we did back then. Like you're talking about the social media, man, you can use that internet now, and you don't have to worry about looking for a contract with a big major record company or anything anymore. If you've got some good product, you can just put it on the internet, and you get heard right away. And, you know, the people are ultimately the ones who buy your music anyway. The record company doesn't. And so, you know, in a way, they've got it a lot better. But as far as getting your music as a songwriter, as far as getting your songs to a major recording artist, it's so much harder today than it was. And because, you know, you got so many people to go through to try to get to a major artist now, and they're surrounded by so much security, you just can't hardly get to them anymore.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of security, let me just say. But I understand, though, that you were also a staff writer for some time. What was that like, your resume?
Well, it was different. My first staff writing job was for Combine Music when they first came to town. Cool. And in fact, I won the first BMI award for them with a song I wrote for the Wilburn Brothers called Tell Her So. And they picked up a few fair to middling writers after that, Chris Christopherson and some fair to middling talent after that. they had a few. But my longest job was with Tree Publishing, and that's where I was for several years. That's where I wrote Skip a Rope and a few things like that. And I was a professional manager there for a while, but that got to be too much. It really cuts into your writing time because I had to listen to so many other songs. We had 53 staff writers. I had to listen to all their stuff and choose which ones we would demo and all. And I had to listen to all the songs that came in through the mail and everything that walked in off the street. And it ended up averaging out to around 500 songs a week I had to listen to. And, you know, if you're a songwriter, that just really gets to working on your mind, and it just takes all the fun out of the business. And I finally had to tell them that I was not an office man. I needed to get back to my guitar and
right.
write the songs.
But, yeah, definitely.
It was nice to have that automatic guaranteed money coming in every week and all that, but you know, I just couldn't be away from my writing.
Right.
And I had to get back to that because I knew that that's what the Lord had put me here to do, and that's what I needed to be doing. I didn't need to be listening to 500 songs that somebody else had written.
Right. You want to do it yourself. You don't want to be,
that's right.
You know, right. You want to be hands-on and do it all yourself. I mean, like you should. I mean, if you're born to do this, and if this is something that you really love to do, you can't do anything else. You have to do it, you know. And with
well, that's right. And it doesn't make any difference if you make a living at it or not. If it's what you were put here to do, you're going to have to do it no matter what. So
you do.
That's what I've done. I'm coming. Let's see, I just passed 77, and I'm about halfway to 78 now. So I guess I've held out this long. I will just keep doing this until they put me in the boneyard.
Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it. Keep putting out music for us, please.
Well, I still enjoy it. I still enjoy it, and that's why I keep doing it.
Awesome. Yes, please keep making amazing music for us that people can purchase. You have albums out. Can you please tell us about your albums here?
Well, I've got a gospel album called New Country Psalms, and I have an all country album called Age to Perfection. I have a one called Half and Half, which is just what it says it is. It's half country and half gospel.
Right.
And my wife and I just finished a new one. It's gospel, mm-hmm. and it's called the Kitchen Tabernacle, and that's the name of our church. We have a little church called the Kitchen Tabernacle, and these songs are, this new one is ready to go except for embedding these ISRC code numbers that you got to put in the tracks now so that they can track your music and tell you who's playing you and all that. I wish they'd go back and leave it alone and put, make it like it used to be. But time marches on, and we have to keep up with the time. So my new album is being delayed while they get these code numbers embedded, and it should be ready to go in just a few days. So and it'll be ready. All of my music can be purchased from me. I think they're all on CD Baby and Amazon, and of course there are several record shops that carry them, and or they can purchase them direct from me at glendouglastrev.com.
Perfect.
And we can you know, we can have them ready to go, but they can also you know, download one track at a time or whatever, you know. If,
right.
if they don't want to buy the whole CD, they can just do part of it. So, however they want to do it, and if they have trouble getting them, they can just write me at dgtub at gmail.com.
Perfect. Easy.
And I will, you know, I will let them know what's available, where they can get it. And if I happen to have some of them in the trunk of my car, I'll just grab one of them and send it to them.
Perfect. Yes. I love that. I love that. So it's very easy. Nobody has to leave their house. They can be in their PJs and still purchase your music. So,
that's
amen.
Right.
Nothing better than that.
You know, that's one of the reasons that my uncle started the Ernest Ebb Record Shops, is so people could purchase country music without going to town. Because, you know, before that, most of the places where you could buy records were in the five and dime stores. And that was the places where most of the records were sold. And very little country music ever made it into the stores. You know, they were mostly just pop records, you know, the dance music and stuff like that. And yeah, I don't know if you've heard about the old times or not, but most of your five and dime stores, they had a they'd have a piano player in there every day, and they'd be playing the piano and selling the sheet music. They'd be playing the sheet music, which was the sheet music to the songs that were popular at that particular time. And, of course, the five and dimes, they sold more sheet music than they did records, actually. So they had somebody there playing the music all day long, and the people would buy the sheet music there. And if they had the records, they'd buy the records, too. But the people that love country music, they didn't really have any place to buy their music. So Uncle Ernest started the Ernest Ebb Record Shop in the mail order so that people could stay at home and just pick up the phone and call the Ernest Ebb Record Shop and order the records they wanted and have it shipped right to their house. And, boy, that was an amazing thing. And it has, it has, you know, been something that people have, they're still doing it today. And, you know, this, a lot of record shops have gone out of business because of the Internet and all. But the record shop is, they're still in business because they do a great mail order business. And they still have access to a lot of the older records and hard to find records that people want from time to time. So if you can't find it anywhere else, you know, they call the Ernest Ebb Record Shop and they get it.
That's true. That's true. And I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, you know how people could just download the songs, you know, like iTunes and all the other stuff.
I personally like a CD, you know, a full CD that I could actually play in my car or,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what I like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Well, I like it because when you do that, the songwriters get paid.
Right.
people don't understand when they download this stuff for free off the internet. They're
mm-hmm.
taking money out of the pocket of the songwriters, and they
true.
Act like that, you know, the songwriters don't deserve to get paid for their
yeah.
work. And we've lost about 85% of our income since
mm-hmm.
the internet has come along.
Yeah,
and
wow.
I know, you know, this is a bad story to tell, but there's a lot of professional songwriters that can no longer make a living at writing songs, and so they've had to find other jobs.
Wow, that's crazy, especially since all the work that goes into, you know, being a songwriter. I mean, it's your material, and you should get paid because it is a job. You know, it's
well,
like
it
any
is
other
a job. Yeah, you know, when I was writing as a staff writer for the big publishing companies, I went in every day. I was there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I stayed till at least 5 in the afternoon. Writing songs. I mean, I worked at it every day.
Right.
And then, you know, you can't turn it off when you come home. You know, your mind is still working. So, you know, you write songs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you deserve to get paid for your work just like anybody else. Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, whatever you are.
Sure.
You know, a worker is worth his hire, you know. So, but, you know, for some reason, people don't understand that when they download this music for nothing, they're taking money out of the pocket of the songwriters that have spent their time and their money
mm-hmm.
making these songs available to them, and then they, you know, they feel like it's okay for them to just take it for nothing.
Right, exactly. Which is crazy, and that's why I love to get those CDs. A lot of my guests have, you know, where you could download them and, you know, on Reverb Nation and stuff, and then you could also, you know, do whatever. And I'm like, well, you got a CD? I'll get the CD. That's fine. I don't care. I'll get the CD, and I'll blast in my car for everyone to hear. I don't care. So just give me the CD. But yeah, I prefer the CD.
Bless your heart, darling. I wish there was more like you. We've just really had a heavy blow struck mm-hmm. on us, and I don't know how we're going to get it turned around, but
right.
it's all in the Lord's hands. We're just going to have to trust Him to
mm-hmm.
just make it
turn it around
where, you know, we get some of that money back. They keep telling us, you know, they're passing these laws where they're going to give us some royalties for the digital music and all that, and everything I've looked at. It turns out to be about, you know, a tenth of a cent per play, you know. Well, you know, you get 2,000 plays and you get enough to buy a hamburger, you know.
Right. Go to your local McDonald's. Well, I think that's crazy. Get CDs, people. We could do it. Let's change this around. Also, I mean, you literally have done it all. I also read that you have done some acting. Will you tell us about Sparkle and Tutor, as well as your thoughts on acting in general? Tell me about that.
Yeah.
I couldn't leave that out.
I had a lot of fun doing that. A good friend of mine, Jerry Foster, who's a great songwriter, he is part of the team of Foster and Rice. They had hundreds of hits. And anyway, he's an actor, too, and he's been doing it a good while, and I got into it by accident. My grandson has been doing some acting, and his agent called one day and said, you need to come down and audition for this new movie, Sparkling Tutor. And I said, well, what time do you want him there? And he said, no, it's not for your grandson, it's for you. And I said, well, I don't do any acting. They said, oh, yeah, you can do it. So I went down and auditioned, and they pretty much let me have there was three parts available, and they told me I could just take any of them I wanted. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. It It's a really funny thing if it ever gets out. The editing of it kind of messed it up from what I hear. I haven't seen the finished product. But it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. And since then I've started doing some other stuff. I've been in major roles in a couple of movies for LifeWay Christian, which used to be a Baptist bookstore, whatever. Anyway, they're Christian films, and Baptist churches use them for teaching aids for their Sunday school classes. And I've done a couple of those and really enjoyed it. I've done some actual acting on stage. Dottie and I were in a Christmas play over in Virginia called Redneck Christmas. We had a big time with that. And we've been in some music videos and done some commercials and different things. It's been a lot of fun. I just kind of eased into it sideways. I didn't really plan on doing it, but it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing it.
That's really neat. You think you'd be doing a little bit more of acting? Would you like to get into some more stuff?
Well, yeah, I would. In fact, I was booked to do a movie in Memphis last year. I had a pretty big role in it with James Earl Jones, and he got sick, and so he didn't get well in time for the movie to be done, and they haven't recast it yet, and I know he's well now, or supposed to be, and I don't know if they're going to use him again or somebody else or what, but I was looking forward to working with him because he's such a great actor, and I was going to try to pick up a few pointers from him.
Right.
I'm making myself available to, anybody that needs to know a fella that looks like Santa Claus. And I'm kind of typecast there with my long white hair and beard, and
I love it.
So, in fact, I'm going to do a little. Short film. December 1st, we're going to film this, and the fellow is going to do it. He's going to put it up on YouTube, and it's going to be kind of a little comedy thing with Santa Claus. And I believe the title of it's going to be The Cold Hard Truth or something like that. It should be funny. This I'm playing Santa Claus naturally, and the son is Santa Claus trying to talk his son into taking over the business, and the son is a great big fella, and he's supposed to sit on my lap, and I told the guy, I said, that big rascal is not sitting on my lap. I said, you build a stool or something over my leg for him to sit on, because he ain't sitting on me.
Oh, my goodness. That's going to be such a good one.
But it should be good, and I've seen the script, and it's funny. So it should be probably on YouTube by the end of the first week of December, so
awesome.
You can be watching for that. And anything else that comes up, I'm available.
Awesome. We got a lot of stuff to be looking forward coming from you, so that's very exciting. But speaking of Santa Claus here, on to my fun questions. I've seen some really great pictures of you dressed up as Santa Claus, and can I just say, you look amazing. Like, I was getting ready to tell you what I wanted for Christmas. I mean, that's how amazing you were. I was
I have people run me down the grocery store, give me their Christmas list.
I would. If I would have seen you, I would have, so. What did I say? That's very cool. But also, here's another funny question here for you. Have you ever had any kind of on-stage embarrassing moments that you could tell us about while performing?
Well, other than forgetting my songs, I do forget the lyrics every once in a while. I've got so many songs that I sometimes get them all mixed up, but hopefully the people don't notice because I just keep going.
Oh,
and they don't always come out like they're supposed to, but
right.
I don't say anything about it, and nobody else does, so they probably don't want to embarrass me.
Oh, those are good fans right there. That's dedication. I love that. Yeah, we've heard it all, so that's mild on our list. Don't worry.
I've tried not to embarrass myself too much, but that's about the only thing that happens to me, and believe me, that's a major thing when you're singing one of your songs, especially one that you've been singing for 30 or 40 years, and you forget the words all of a sudden.
Right.
So you just forget where you're at. You know, I have a great nephew who works over in Europe a lot, and he was playing a big festival over there, and they were doing the Carter Family thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not I'll Fly Away, but Will the Circle Be Unbroken? They're doing Will the Circle Be Unbroken, and all the different stars on the show were taking turns doing a verse. And when they got to him, they told him to take it, do a verse. Well, he didn't know the song at all. He had heard the song, but he had never learned it. And he just went right into one of my songs and did a verse of one of my songs in place of the one that should be in Will the Circle Be Unbroken, and it fit right in. And everybody comes to him after the show and ask him where he found that verse because they didn't know about it.
Oh,
they thought it was something that he had found somewhere from the original lyrics of the song. And so he had to tell them the truth that it was one of his uncle's songs that he had substituted there.
That's hilarious.
Well, you know, I said, you didn't do that, did you? He said, yes, I did.
Yes, he did. Oh, my goodness. That is hilarious. Well, at least it fit. At least it worked.
Yeah, it fit right in. You know, I didn't believe until I tried it myself, and it did work.
Wow, that's cool. Made a new song there.
So, you know, music is music, and
exactly.
A lot of times it works. It's a universal language, and, you know, people don't really have to understand your words. They can, you know, they can just understand the music and the feeling behind it, and they like it just fine. They don't have to understand all the words.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree. And thank you so much for sharing your embarrassing moments. I absolutely love that question. I love that question. I just have to say, because, you know, people think that, you know, artists and singers and songwriters, they, you know, get on stage and then they're, you know, perfect humans and stuff. And I'm like, they're humans just like us. Trust me. And so I started asking that question so people can, you know, see what happens. And you're human, so it happens. I've done it already with my song, so don't worry.
Well, it happens, you know, and it doesn't make any difference how long you've been doing it, how many times you've sung it. If you let your mind stray just a little bit, you forget where you are.
Right. Yeah.
And the lyrics are gone.
Absolutely. I have to say, because I'm kind of a new, you know, artist. I kind of wanted to do it because I get so many great guests out there. And so it was my first time performing, and I was mortified because I forgot the words. And I thought, oh, goodness, I can't do this. But then, you know, you go on YouTube and stuff and see other artists do it, and I'm like, okay, I don't feel so bad.
There you go. You're in the club.
Yes, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm in the club now. I'm happy.
A lot of times I keep my eyes closed when I'm singing, and people think I'm really feeling it or something. What I'm doing is just trying to keep my mind from being distracted and trying to remember all my words.
It works. It works. I love that. I love that. You know how people always say, you know, to not be nervous, imagine everyone in your underwear. Don't you think that would be more distracting? Don't you think you'd forget your words even more? I mean, how would that work?
Yeah. That you know, at my work, if you've got a prepared speech in front of you that's written down,
I know.
It might help you to get over your, you know, your stage fright or whatever. But
right.
No, that won't help a whole lot when you're trying to remember something.
Right. That's what someone, you know, told me before, and I tried it, and I couldn't do it. Maybe it worked for some people, but I couldn't do it. But I had to mention that. Also, last question here, because we're running out of time.
It went
so fast, I know. But what are some things that you like to do for fun when you're not working on your music? Some hobbies behind the scenes you like to do?
The hobby that I have when I'm not working on my music? Well, when I'm not working on my music, I'm working on a book or something like that. My hobby is writing, and that's what I do for fun. And I just had an interview with a man from Connecticut a while ago, and he's been editing my book for me. I've been writing my life story, and he said the only thing is he wants me to add a lot to it. He wants me to write a whole lot more about me and Dottie since we got married. We've been married just 2.5 years now, and it's it really is quite a story, all the years we knew each other before. It's going to make, he thinks it's a story in itself, so we're going to go back to the drawing board, and in a little while I'll sit down at my computer and start writing again, so I'll probably get in bed about daylight in the morning.
Sounds good.
So that's my hobby, baby. I write.
Sounds good. I'll buy that book in a heartbeat. Keep writing. Keep doing what you love. Love that.
It's gonna be fun.
Absolutely.
You get in touch with me if you have any more questions, and I will be happy to answer anything I can for you, baby.
Oh, thank you so much. And really quick, though, I just got my mama manager over here just wrote something on my sheet here that some fans have been asking. Did you get to meet people like Johnny Cash, and can you tell us what that was like? That was from a few fans here on Facebook.
Well, I worked with Johnny, and like I told you a while ago, he walked up to me backstage at the Opry one night and said, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." And he started doing that a lot after that.
Yeah.
But, he was a great guy. He loved my music, and I loved his. And we were very good friends for a long time. And I was very lucky. My uncle introduced me to my real hero, Hank Williams, when I was I'd say about 15 years old, and Ernest and Hank they tutored me on my songwriting when I first started, and in fact I was singing songs to Hank in a nightclub in Austin, Texas about 10 days before he died, and the song Uncle Ernest recorded, the Christmas song, was the one I sang to him that night. And Hank sang me Your Cheating Heart and Kalacha. That was going to be his new record. It wasn't out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been lucky. I've met a lot of famous people. Dizzy Dean, who's a great baseball pitcher. He was a friend of the family, and Lou Jenkins, lightweight champion of the world back in 1940 and 1941, and just all kinds of people. And I've been very blessed. Lord's been good to me my whole life.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. I love that. And I'm glad I was able to answer that for you, able to ask you that question for people, because they keep writing that in, and I'm like, I'll answer it. But I just have to thank you so much for coming on the show and chatting with me and spending some time with me. I had so much fun talking to you.
You're welcome, baby. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
Call me anytime.
Oh, and I will accept that invitation. Well, I'd love to have you back on.
No, I mean it. I mean it, baby. God bless you, honey, and you have a wonderful life.
You too. God bless, and I absolutely adore your music. I am a fan, and I'll keep in touch with you and keep checking out your music. Keep putting out great things for us.
Thank you, darling. Bye-bye.
I had so much fun speaking with Mr. Glenn Douglas Tubb. He's so outstanding. He's so talented, such a wonderful person. I am honored to have been able to interview him and chat with him and know him, and he is a great, great guy. So everyone, please check out everything that he's doing and everything that he's in, everything. Just check out all of his music. He's amazing. Now, I want to play some of his songs here, and I'm very excited to start grooving here. So please, let's take a listen to our first song of Glenn Douglas Tubb. I've got the Blues Biggest Texas. Let's play it right now. Here we go.
I've got the blues as big as Texas, and darling, you know why. I've been in this pitiful condition ever since you told me goodbye. I walk the floor and think about you, wondering just where I went astray. I've got the blues big as Texas, baby, and they just keep getting bigger every day. I don't know what I did to you to make you want to leave, but still I'm begging your forgiveness. Won't you, baby, please? I've got the blues as big as Texas, and that's about as big as anything can be. I've got the blues big as Texas, baby, and I'll be blue till you come back to me. I don't know what I'll do, 'cause I know my love for you is bigger than my blues. I've got the blues as big as Texas, and that's about as big as anything can be. I've got the blues big as Texas, baby, and I'll be blue till you come back to me. Please come back to me.
I love that song. That was I've Got the Blues Biggest Texas by Glenn Douglas Tubb. Now, let's play his next song that we have here. Let's hear Journey to the Sun. Check it out.
I've never strayed I need to run, but I've got Jesus in my soul, and one day I'll walk his streets of gold. When I take my journey to the sun, when my time on earth is done, then I'll see God's hope.
and only Mr. Glenn Douglas Tubb, and I am so happy. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight and joining me for another Josie Show special edition episode. I had a blast tonight, and I hope you guys did too. We remember, we'll keep this interview up on our special editions tab here on the show site at www.josieshow.com forever and ever, so you can listen again and again, or tell all of your friends to come and listen if they've missed it. So please check that out. All of the links will for my guests will also be there as well. So remember, GlennDouglasTubb.com and JohnnyMacMusic.com. Check out those two websites. We'll be back again with the Josie Show Special Edition on Monday, February 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will bring you country performer David Church. David proves that you don't need a major label to be outstanding. He has millions of fans worldwide, has performed with such greats as Gene Watson, Lori Morgan, and George Jones, just to name a few, and had so many achievements. So make sure you tune in for this awesome interview. David Church will be with us live on February 4th. So mark your calendars, everyone. So until then, remember to tune in weekly on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to the live Josie Show at josieshow.com. Special thanks to my guest tonight, Glenn Douglas Tubb. He was awesome and so amazing. We have to have him back. We got to plan that. He's awesome. And he's done so much that there's more to talk to him about, so, which is awesome. So remember, I'm your host, Josie Pasentino, and until then, until next time, remember, sometimes you have to make the hard decisions and turn your world upside down to achieve your dreams. Go after what you want, make great friends along the way, and love the whole journey. Good night, everyone.